Our next scripture comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 15, verses 22 to 33. The book of Proverbs is a different kind of literature in the Bible. It's not so much stories or narratives. It's a collection of sayings about wisdom and the way of wisdom. So we'll start with verse 22 of chapter 15. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. A man finds joy in giving an apt reply, and how good is a timely word. The path of life leads upward for the wise, to keep him from going down to the grave. The Lord tears down the proud man's house, but he keeps the widow's boundaries intact. The Lord detests the thoughts of the wicked, but those of the pure are pleasing to him. A greedy man brings trouble to his family, but he who hates bribes will live. The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. A cheerful look brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones. He who listens to a life-giving rebuke will be at home among the wise. He who ignores discipline despises himself, but whoever heeds correction gains understanding. The fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom, and humility comes before honor. Let us pray. God, we want to stay on the path of living wise, godly, righteous lives. We need your instruction on how to do that. So give us wisdom today that we may know how to stay on the path that leads to life through Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Divine guidance comes in many forms. We saw that partly last week in our scripture about the Magi and how God provided navigation help to them through a star, through scriptures, through a dream. And that's just one of many stories in the Bible where people, as it turns out, need lots of help from above in order to make it from point A to point B down here on this earth. And these stories, I think, are often a mixture of God's purposes and people's purposes. They're sort of a bringing together of divine direction and human planning. When we listen to today's scripture passage from Proverbs, there's lots of planning going on, but not really in the form of a story. Instead, we encounter a proverb, a brief statement that's designed to capture and convey wisdom so that those who hear it and receive it can live out wise and godly lives. And in this case, wise and godly living, we're told, has a lot to do with how we make our plans. That opening verse said, "Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed." Notice how this verse works in a way similar to many of those other verses in our passage, sort of contrasting sides, opposites. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Now, there's certainly no shortage of plans in our lives, especially this time of the year. We're still early on here, 10 days into 2016, and for many people, plans are already well in motion. Lots of those New Year's resolutions are probably already being put to the test. Good intentions to get into shape, get out of debt, to spend more time with family and friends, to quit smoking, to get organized, to read the Bible more, to pray more. All these aims and many more along with them are now starting to run into the harsh realities of daily life and the challenges that come with that. These realities where even the best plans made by the most determined people can start to crack a little bit and crumble in the face of daily life. Sometimes our plans fail because we're working with bad information. Sometimes our plans fail because we set unrealistic goals. Sometimes our plans fail because of maybe unforeseen circumstances in our lives or in the lives of others or in the world. Sometimes our plans fail because we assemble them too hastily. Sometimes our plans fail because of poor execution of the plan. Sometimes our plans fail because they're just that, our plans, plans made on my own or on your own, without consulting others, without looking to God for guidance, those kinds of plans. Some of our most fragile and foolish plans we make in life are the ones where we decide to go it alone, without consulting God, without seeking out others for counsel and advice, those kinds of plans that fail because of those things. Plans fail for lack of counsel, our verse says, but with many advisors, they succeed. Now, in our lives as Christians, this piece of advice, this piece of wisdom that we hear in our scripture passage today, it can take lots of forms. It might take the form of a group of church members gathering around the table for a monthly, say, congregational business meeting. This Wednesday evening is another opportunity for us to come together to make plans about our church's ministry over the next several months or in the short term as well, even shorter term. We already have a strategic plan that we adopted a few years ago. It's still in place to give us direction as we continue our journey forward. But that general plan and all the plans that we make within it in order to sort of take our lives forward, to take our congregation forward, all those kinds of plans are the kinds of plans that belong not just to one person alone, but belong to the entire congregation as together we seek the glory of God and the purpose of God and the will of God and the guidance of God in our life together as a congregation. According to our scripture text today, a successful plan isn't the product of just one person's mind. It's actually the result of collaboration, consultation. And in the life of the church, I think we know that kind of thing's easier said than done, isn't it? When we're together in the life of the church, collaborating, consulting, seeking guidance and advice and insight and direction from others can get difficult and messy. If you doubt that in any way, all you have to do is go browse through the minutes of any church's business meetings, and you'll get a pretty clear sense that plans made with, quote, many advisors can be a messy, difficult, challenging kind of process. And yet we persevere together and we try to enable one another to stay on the path of wisdom laid out in our scripture passage today so that God can steer our lives and God can steer our congregation and God can steer our lives individually and together. The opening verse of today's scripture passage is just really one of many places in the book of Proverbs where we're reminded of how much we need wise counsel from others. How much we really need wise counsel and guidance from other people. In their original context, these verses usually had a lot to do with matters of government, statecraft, waging war, those kinds of things. Thus, Proverbs 11:14, for lack of guidance, a nation falls, but many advisors make victory sure. Or Proverbs 20:18, make plans by seeking advice. If you wage war, obtain guidance. We know from our own experience with political issues in lots of different ways that outcomes aren't determined just by one person's opinion and decision, but also by the effects and the impact of advisors, consultants, strategists who surround people who are in the process of making decisions. That's part of often the way it works and happens. And I think that this need for guidance and direction really extends into all areas of our lives, not just matters of government, not just matters of state, but really all areas of life. When it comes to matters like how to raise your child, how to tend well to your marriage, how to manage your money, how to pick a major or choose a career track, how to care for an aging parent, how to improve your job performance, and these kinds of situations and all sorts of others that you could probably add to that list. We face these kinds of circumstances where we regularly need to seek out other people for guidance, for counsel, for advice in our lives. And the people, as it turns out, to whom we turn, the folks to whom we turn for that counsel, for that guidance, and that advice can have a lot to do with the course and the content of our lives and how they turn out in lots of different ways. This need for guidance in all areas of our lives, part of what this means is that for Christians, the church is the primary community where we seek out counsel and advice and guidance and encouragement and exhortation from one another. The church is the primary community where we encourage and enable each other on the path of wisdom, which leads to godly lives, to be devoted to righteousness and to Christ. When you think about it, if your goal and my goal is conformity to Christ and Christ-likeness in our own lives, then it only really makes sense that we connect our lives to and rely upon and seek out the guidance of other people who are on the way toward the same goal or objective, Christ-likeness and conformity to Christ in their lives. In other words, growth in holiness or succeeding in sanctification is really impossible unless we surround ourselves with fellow believers who, by their words, by their example, or by other ways they show the way of wisdom to us, do that in our lives. If we want to grow in Christ-likeness, then we need to be primarily engaged with others who share that same goal and that same objective in their lives and in our lives. There's a gentleman named Parker Palmer. He's a Quaker, and he writes in one of his books about how he was seeking guidance in his own life and how God used some of his own friends in his own particular religious tradition to give him that kind of guidance. Palmer had been offered the office of president at a small educational institution, and just looking at the situation, he thought, this is the perfect job for me. This is ideal for me. But he wanted to honor his own Quaker tradition, so he did as custom dictated, gather together 12 trusted friends and come together as trusted friends to participate in what's called a clearness committee. A clearness committee. And he describes it this way: a process in which the group refrains from giving you advice, but spends 3 hours asking you honest, open questions to help you discover your own inner truth. And he said, they get started into this clearness committee gathering, and most of the early questions are fairly easy and simple, until one person puts to him the question, Parker, what do you think you're gonna like most about being president of that school? He says, the simplicity of that question loosed me from my head and lowered me into my heart. I remember pondering for at least a full minute before I could respond. And then he started to speak very softly and gently. Well, I would not like having to give up my writing and my teaching. I'd not like having to be so involved in politics where I'm not really sure who to trust. He said, I'd really not like having to glad hand people, even if I don't respect them, just because they have money. These are some of the things I would not. And then the person who had put the question to him said, let me just remind you gently that that wasn't really my question. My question was really about what you would like about being president.
So Palmer sort of responded impatiently, wait a minute, he said, I'm getting there, I'm working my way to that answer. And he resumed going on into this sullen litany of things that he would not like about being president of that school. Once again, the questioner came back to him, and this time he says, questions sort of came out of him, sort of compelled, out of the bottom of his own barrel, an answer that sort of surprised him and probably all the others who were gathered there with him as he spoke to him as well, when he said in as small a voice as possible, well, what I'd like about being president is having my picture in the newspaper with the name president under it. It just came out of his word. He says, I was sitting with seasoned Quakers who knew that though my answer was laughable, my mortal soul was clearly at stake. They did not laugh along with me, he says, but they went into one of those long periods of serious silence, waiting and thinking. A silence in which I could only sweat and inwardly groan. And finally, the person who had put the question to him in the first place came back at him with a line that cracked him up and really cracked everybody up there. He says, Parker, can't you come up with an easier way to get your picture in the paper? And that's when he said he knew that this experience was more about his ego than about the ecology of his life. He wasted no time in getting in touch with the university to tell them he wanted to withdraw his name from consideration. Had I taken that job, he said, it would have been very bad for me and bad for that school, a disaster for that school too. See, in the life of faith, we need others, especially people within the church, within the community of Christ's people, to help us stay on the path of wisdom that God has for us, to follow the path that God wants us to travel in order to fulfill our calling in Christ, whatever form that kind of calling may take. Sometimes that may mean that you need someone like Parker Palmer did. You need someone or a group of people who can help you examine and see your motives clearly, or clarify what your real desires and intentions are. Those kinds of advisors are what you need. Sometimes that means you'll need a spiritual leader of some sort, a trusted person to maybe help you gain clarity about the real direction of your life and what way you need to go. It may be that kind of situation. Sometimes it may mean that you need an experienced mentor in some way or another to help you navigate a particular kind of ministry that's confusing or fuzzy to you in some way. Sometimes that may mean that you just need a fellow believer who's willing to be with you and present with you and present to you and available to listen to you, just to help you process how God is present and working in your life. Sometimes it may mean that you need a partner, or maybe just a small group of partners that you can put your idea to or your proposal to first, so that it can get processed to see how God is working in constructive dialogue with one another in that small group. Sometimes it may even mean that what you need is an encourager, somebody who's able to build you up in Christ and to exhort you and encourage you to make progress on the path of wise living. Some of you may be familiar with writer Max Lucado. He talks about a time in one of his books where he learned the importance of having the right kind of counsel or advice going on around you and in your life. He was participating in a half Ironman triathlon, which consists of 1.2 mile swim, followed by a 56 mile bike ride, and then the last part, a 13.1 mile run. And by the time he got to that last portion of the event, he wasn't sure if he was going to have enough energy to complete it. He wasn't sure if the person running beside him was going to have to either.
when he asked him. But then as they got further into a conversation, he sort of regretted asking the question of the person who was running beside him, because this person said, "You know, this stinks. This is the dumbest decision that I've ever made," he said. And Lakato's response to him, "Goodbye." He said, "I'm convinced that if I had stayed with him and continued the conversation, just kept on listening to him, it wouldn't be long until I was agreeing with him." Soon, though, Lucato caught up with a 66-year-old grandmother whose tone was completely different. "Hang in there, stay with it. I know it's hot, but at least it's raining a little bit. Okay? Don't give up. Persevere. Hydrate as necessary," all these kinds of pieces of advice. And so Lucato says that he ran next to her till his legs were lightened and his heart sort of lifted as well. Kept up with her as long as he could until he had to sort of drop back. And she said, when she went on, said, "Okay, see ya." She just kept on going. And he asked a very simple question: "Which of these two describes the counsel you seek?" Which of these two describes the kind of counsel, advice, guidance, exhortation that you seek in your life following Christ? What does our scripture for today say? "Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed." Moving deeper into wise and godly living and promoting the reign of God in the world have never been a solo affair, though we sometimes sort of treat it that way. And the presence of the church and your participation in the church are clear signs of just how much we actually need one another within the community of Christ's people to stay on the path of wisdom, to be guided by God in the ways that he wants us to go. God's guidance often comes, as we said at the beginning of today's message, in all kinds of forms. And sometimes God's guidance comes in the form of other human beings who are prepared to exhort you, encourage you, question you, challenge you, comfort you, advise you, guide you, and all the other things that they can do to help you stay on this route called wisdom. It's no wonder, really, that a couple of chapters earlier in Proverbs, we heard this one: "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm." He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. I think that as we continue our journey into this early part of a new year, this part of the scriptures called Proverbs sort of comes alongside us to give us counsel and advice and direction. It tells us very clearly that the company we keep in our lives can go a long way toward determining the course and the content and the direction of our lives, the kind of company we keep. It challenges us, I think, to reflect on what kinds of ties we form with which kinds of folks as we strive to follow Jesus in our lives. It puts questions to us, questions like, with whom are you spending most of your time? With whom are you spending most of your time? Who are you hanging out with, whether it's online or face-to-face? Which people are you developing connections with? Connections such that they shape you and you shape them in ways we often don't realize. Now, certainly our scripture passage for today isn't telling us that you need to spend all of your time only with believers and with nobody else. That's not really the point of the passage. You're called to be in God's world, engaging the culture, navigating through different contexts, forming friendships and building relationships in order to convey and communicate the gospel and to promote the kingdom of God in the world, to be salt and light in all the kinds of contexts where you live and work and shop and play and all these kinds of things, that's part of it. But as you do, we're told, as you do, the church, the community of God's people in Christ, the church, is supposed to be the primary company that you keep. Other believers in the congregation and beyond the congregation into the world. And that's because growth in wisdom, we're told, this whole book of Proverbs is about wisdom. Growth in wisdom comes from joining along with others who are on the route toward wisdom too, with you. That's where the wisdom comes from. So let's pray. God, whose wisdom is revealed most of all through Jesus Christ, thank you that you want to teach us your way for our lives, and that you've given us this part of the scriptures to instruct and counsel us. We pray that you look upon us with mercy for those times and ways when we get on the wrong path, the wrong way, the wrong road, and you seek to bring us back to the path and route of wisdom. We pray for your guidance day in and day out in our plans. Help us not to make them without seeking you, without consulting others, especially fellow believers who can exhort us and guide us and encourage us. We thank you that we have this community of your people in Christ called the church to help us stay together on the path of wisdom. Direct us each day in how we choose with whom we'll spend our time and who we'll hang out with and who we'll form ties with so that we can be the best influence for Christ that you want us to be. We know that you send us into the world to engage it and to be your witnesses among non-believers, but show us not only how to do that wisely, show us how to spend our time with your people in relationships that keep us wise and keep us on the path of godliness. We just pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.